Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
All right, well, welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, David Smith, Illinois Family Action. And yes, we're still lamenting the retirement of our friend Monty Larrick. Those are some big shoes to fill. So anyway, today I am thrilled to be joined by Pastor Brandon Myers. He is a pastor in the western suburbs, the near western suburbs. And I wanted to invite him on to talk about the bill that Senator Neil Anderson has introduced in Springfield, 3572, Senate Bill 3572, to ban abortion, to abolish abortion in the state of Illinois. Now, we have a lot of work to do, and there's already, Pastor, some hand-wringing. But before I get there, I want to ask you to tell us a little about who you are and where you pastor.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brother David. It's good to be with you. So appreciate the Illinois Family Institute and all the work you're doing at Illinois Action as well. I serve in the Chicagoland area, have served at a number of local churches. I was for 10 years in the Free Church, and the last little over 5 years, I have served in a confessionally Reformed Baptist church, Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church in Niles, Illinois. And it has been a joy to watch the Lord work there. We have seen God bless the church with both growth spiritually and growth numerically. So we're very encouraged by that. And we also have a lot of unity under the Lordship of Christ, an eager group zealous for good works that God has created us for before the foundation of the world. So there's a evangelistically minded congregation of wonderful brother and sister saints who are an encouragement to me. I cannot imagine pastoring another local church. I'm so encouraged by them and the people that the Lord continues to bring, but also just the nature of being able to be in ministry, to equip people for the work of ministry that God has called them to. It's a joy and it's a blessing. So yeah, it's a little bit about me. I grew up in this area as well, so it feels like a home because it is home. It's a joy just to be here and love our state. It's beloved. It's beautiful. Many people know this who live here. Everyone always talks about Chicago and the crime and this kind of a thing. And obviously that is a real issue. We don't want to pretend like it's not. There are very dark spots and there are some very corrupt politicians. We grieve over that. But at the same time, there's also many remarkably wonderful people here and many people made in the image of God who are here as well, who we long to come to saving faith in Jesus, but also others who are brothers
you
and sisters.
You could say the fields are white, huh, Pastor?
Yes, amen, amen, amen. That's a great way to
So
put
if
it.
People want to find out where you are, what's your website?
Yeah, you go to ctkrbc.org. ctkrbc.org. That's just Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church.org. You can find out more about our church at ctkrbc.org. We'd love to have, if you're looking for a home church that preaches the whole counsel of God's word, is unashamed of the gospel, but also is very warm and hospitable and all about the grace of God in Christ and loves the truth of God, will not soften that. We want to be unflinchingly faithful to the truth, but also full of grace, full of love, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus. So we love that we get to serve in this area.
That's awesome. And you're not afraid of the cultural issues because Christ is king of all, including politics, the realm of the culture. And that's why I invited you on to talk about this this landmark bill that has been introduced in Springfield to stop abortion. And a lot of people will say this is a political issue and it's not the right time and all these other things. But Pastor, tell me, why do you think this is primarily a spiritual battle and not a political battle?
Yeah, that's such an important question. And I do think that Christians have been, for back of a letter term, pushed into this place of thinking that anything related to the issue of abortion is political. They hear the word abortion, they hear political. They don't want to go there because they think they're going to offend someone. And then they just refuse to speak, refuse to voice their opinion. Maybe they'll vote a certain way, but whenever it comes to actually publicly supporting something or saying something, they want to be quiet or careful or dance around it. And I would just say a couple things on this. One, Allie Beth Stuckey pointed this out a while ago, and I think she's exactly right, that the reason why so many pastors are finding themselves, but also just average, ordinary believers who are trying to faithfully raise their kids and in a God-honoring way are finding themselves more political is because the political has spilled over into the theological, into the biblical. And so she's exactly right on that. I know others have said that as well. I heard her most recently say that, so I want to give her credit where credit's due. Here's what I would say. I would say this, though, that when it comes down to these matters, we are talking not here a matter of tax code and tax policy. We're not talking here about something that's a matter of wisdom or prudence of maybe you take this position. How many legal immigrants, not illegal, how many legal immigrants should we have come in? What should the refugee policy be so we can care for those and protect those who are brothers and sisters who are persecuted, who are coming from those Middle Eastern countries where Islam dominates, right, and push them out? We're not talking about some of those policies where we can disagree and respect one another. We're talking about thou shalt not murder. We're talking about a matter of primary significance in the scripture, in the Ten Commandments. We see so clearly in Proverbs 6, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 24 talks about this, rescue those who are being led to the slaughter. And so over and over again, when we look not just at the sheer amount of precious preborn little girls and little boys in the womb who've been slaughtered, who are protected by the state, and there is no recourse for them. They are voiceless. They are the most vulnerable. They are the smallest among us. When it comes to these who are most victimized, if you claim to care about justice or social justice or truth or any of these things, as a Christian, we know what God has called us to do. Micah 6:8 says what we are called to do, right? And we are called to be those who not only walk in this path of wisdom and truth and justice, but do care about being merciful to those who are actually the most victimized among us. And so God has called us to be people zealous for truth. This is a layup. This is very easy. And throughout church history, but also according to the revealed redemption story in the scripture, the inerrant word of God, the infallible word of God, this is not a question that is up for debate. You see this over and over again, not only in the thou shalt not murder categories, but also the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, David himself, always referring to himself as in the womb, as that child in the womb. And of course, supremely, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is listed, and the Greek word is brephos there. It's the same word for a baby inside the womb, outside the womb. And so for Christians, we see that this word brephos carries the weight of both a baby in the womb, outside the womb. There's no differentiation in the New Testament according to that. So as Christians, we look at this and we see, my goodness, how sad that we as Christians have remained silent or complacent. We have remained apathetic, and far too many have. So I would just say a couple things about this. It's not primarily political. It's 100% spiritual, theological, biblical, and we as Christians will not want to stand before our holy, holy, holy God on the day of judgment, who's the author of life, who the Bible tells us is the God over conception, who opens and closes the womb, who creates every image bearer, male and female, in his image for his glory, from womb, from that time of conception, fertilization, all the way to the natural end of life. We protect life. We love life because it is a gift from Almighty God. None of us wants to be on the side of promoting death and injustice and murder. And also letting those who actually continue to do this and promote this, one, profit off this, but also be those who walk the streets and act as if they can let this injustice reign and rule. Because you know what happens? Injustice and illegality like that promotes more of that. Criminality, sinfulness, it just leads down this path of rejecting the God of life. And Proverbs puts it this way very starkly. Wisdom personified, the Lord tells us through that, those who hate me, wisdom personified, the Lord says, love death. And so we have a culture of people who are deceived. We don't want to look at them primarily as the only enemy. We know they are deceived and enslaved. They need Jesus Christ. So we speak the truth in love to them, whether they are politicians like Governor J.B. Pritzker, whose salvation we pray for and cry out to God for, pray that he would change his mind and not celebrate abortion, preborn murder, but now repent and trust in Christ and protect those precious preborn children. So we look at our politicians and our leaders, and we see these are those who are called to uphold justice. They are those who are to bear the sword and to be a terror to evildoer. And instead, you have something else. You have not protection for preborn and not equal protection. You have double standards. You have unequal measures so that it's like we can murder these children in the womb, but not these ones. After 10 weeks, but not this. These bills that we've put forward for so long in the state of Illinois by people who are self-professing Christians, self-professing pro-lifers, they often are halfway measures. And so this bill from Neil Anderson, I was just texting him the other day, and it was such a joy to hear him. A solid brother in the Lord who is boldly stepping out to do this. And we see, we can praise God for his courage. And think about William Wilberforce, who stood alone for all those years as the only one who would do what is right and good and just, would honor God to promote, in that case, the end of the slave trade, that horrific evil that stained Britain, and praise God that he stood and he stood alone. So let's be praying for Neil Anderson. Absolutely. This legislator, this state senator, this brother in Christ. Amen. Yeah.
As you're talking there, came to mind, Jesus identified our adversary as a liar and a murderer.
Amen.
From the beginning.
Yep, he did.
There is such a stronghold among some of, let's just call them abortion cheerleaders in the city of Illinois.
Very sad.
We need to be praying. This is spiritual.
Amen.
Do you have a word of encouragement to other pastors and other Christian leaders not to overthink this, but rally around Neil Anderson and this bill?
Well, first, I would just say, if you have not already contacted State Senator Neil Anderson, please do so to say thank you for this. We are praying for you. We are going to lift you up in prayer. Support him as best you can, because we need dozens, even hundreds of politicians with this same conviction and zeal and a willingness to put themselves out there. And the truth is, people speak often about being on the right side of history. And I would just challenge anyone who says that this is a matter of being on the right side of history. This is a matter of women's health care, right? And women's rights. All that is built upon deception and lies, because you have precious preborn girls predominantly in the womb, and disproportionately ethnic minorities. If you claim to care about any of this, it's like, okay, you claim to care about racism or those sorts of things. You claim to care about women's rights. What about the right of little women to be born, of ethnic minorities to be born? Is this a group that is, we're just going to exclude them. We're gonna forget about them. Why? They're just disposable and they're forgotten. And so I would just say this. The plea is we long to live in a state, but also in a nation, where we have equal protection under the law. There is really, truly justice for all. That right to life that we all talk about and we love enshrined in our American founding documents, but more primarily than that even, and prior to that, very clearly at the heart of biblical Christianity is this sense of wanting to protect those and love those who are our neighbors. So this is really a matter of neighbor love. These are precious preborn girls and boys in the womb who are our neighbors. And if you claim to love your neighbor, if you claim to care about justice, or you can call it social justice, I don't love that term because of the Marxist connotations, but you claim to care about any of those things, and then you tell me that you're not for equal protection for precious preborn little girls and little boys in the womb, I will tell you, you have a broken moral compass. This is by far the biggest civil rights issue in our day. It's not even close. There's nothing that comes close in comparison. And so many people who are posting about this or that, justice in Minneapolis, these kinds of things, but then are dead silent when it comes to the slaughter, the genocide, the targeting of, and the systematic murder of precious preborn babies. Brothers and sisters, understand there's a God in heaven who we will give an account to. And the way Proverbs 24 puts it, does not he who weighs the heart knows? He knows that we know that this is not a matter we can be neutral on. As those who are part of the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ, we have to be those who are zealous for good deeds and recognize God in his sovereignty has put us in the state of Illinois to not only be an encouragement to people like State Senator Neil Anderson and others who join him, but also to be a voice of truth. If the church remains silent, you do not have a polity, a people, a citizenry that is informed by the word of God. The church cannot remain silent. The church must speak the truth in love, not with arrogance, going back to the gospel of Christ, saying there's a God in heaven who will forgive you, who will gladly reconcile you to himself. And there might be some women listening to this who are angry because they've had abortions. They've been celebrating abortion for a long time. And I'm saying, come to faith in Jesus. Turn to Christ and live. He will forgive you fully, and he will gladly welcome you in. And you can be one of the most, the biggest champions for this cause as well. Your voice is needed. And we would say, be on the right side, not just of history, but on the right side of the God of history, the right side of eternity. And recognize this, you will never, ever regret doing this. You will never regret worshiping and serving the living God by advocating for those who are voiceless and the most vulnerable and victimized in our society, little precious preborn girls and boys in the womb. We care about the mother, absolutely, 100%. And every true Christian always that I've known, that I've ever met, is absolutely concerned about the mother. But what I find is often that's used as a smokescreen to distract us from the fact that there is unequal protection under the law for little precious preborn girls and boys. So Christian brother, Christian sister, if you're sitting in the pew, tell your pastor, ask your pastor about this and pray for this in the services. Pastors, pray for this in the services. Pray for the end of abortion, the abolishment of abortion. Pray for Neil Anderson in the service by name. And encourage him. Reach out to him. Pray for him. And then pray together on your Wednesday service. Add this to your prayer list and pray for this diligently. Then when it comes to actually time where this is going to be on the floor, God willing, or if it doesn't get that far, reach out to your state senators and ask them where they stand on this. If someone claims to be pro-life and you voted for them, ask them to co-sponsor this. And if they won't, let's just understand this is a beachhead moment where it's like we're going to know who the charlatans are. And who those who actually are not interested in that kind of thing are, because this is a matter of equal protection under the law. And we want to be those who are honoring Christ consistently and faithfully. We don't think we're better than these people. We don't think we have something, you know, morally about ourselves, but we recognize we have the scriptures. They are sufficient. God has told us he is the author of life. God has told us thou shalt not murder. God has told us he hates these abominable scales, these unequal scales and measures that are happening all across our state. And we can see in our generation, in this generation, this happening come to the state of Illinois. You think that's a long shot? I would just encourage you to look up the story of William Wilberforce. I would encourage you as well to look up the story in the scripture of those who stood alone and recognize where those kings that they were opposed to were. Jeremiah, Isaiah, they stood alone against people who were even going against them. And you might find, brother and sister in Christ, that even people in your own church stand against you and oppose you on this. And that would be grievous and sad, but stand firm, stand strong, understand fully that the scripture is on your side. The God of truth is on your side. You will never regret standing up for those who cannot speak for themselves. You will never, ever regret that.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great word of encouragement. You know, let's not be with the politically correct crowd, but let's stand Amen. With the God of history.
Thank Amen. You.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update.
The Congressional Budget Office recently released a shocking report on the state of our nation's current fertility crisis. In 2024, the CBO expected the number of American deaths to overtake the number of births by the year 2040. They expect now the U.S. population to reach this point as early as 2030. These projections are unsurprising since the current fertility rate is 1.6, which is well below the 2.1 replacement rate, and is projected to go down to 1.58 in 2026. Falling fertility rates are the direct result of a culture that no longer has a biblical worldview on the sanctity of life and the importance of family. Too many Christians are choosing to forego marriage and children, even though the Bible is clear about the blessings of both. We not only need to recognize the good of family formation, but we need to teach it to our children and grandchildren. Go to IllinoisFamily.org to learn more. IllinoisFamily.org.
Okay, well, welcome back to the second half of the podcast today. I'm your host, David Smith, Illinois Family Action. And in this portion of the podcast, we have Pastor Calvin Lindstrom, who's also an IFA board member, has been from the very beginning, and he is also the pastor of the Church of Christian Liberty in Arlington Heights. Pastor, tell us a little bit more about you, your background, your family.
Well, Dave, I was blessed to grow up in a home where civil action, sometimes even civil disobedience, was modeled by my father, who had been arrested numerous times, Washington, D.C. He and my brother were arrested in Georgia for protesting against abortion. So some of my earlier days were going to pickets here and there outside of abortion clinics and other things. So I guess expressing that Christians have a voice has been something that maybe I've taken for granted. And that, yeah, not everyone has maybe had that opportunity to engage in our culture. You know, we've been given the freedom to do it. You know, you can argue about, okay, what's the best method for this? But you know what? What we see today, there are excellent ministries that are really on the front lines, either outside the abortion clinic or trying to minister to the women. So we should be using the opportunities that have been given to us. Otherwise, you know, I fear if we don't push these things, we'll become like England, where it's illegal in some cases to even pray outside of an abortion clinic.
Yeah, that's terrible. And there's a lot of good prayer warriors who have been taking time to pray out in front of these clinics. And a number of clinics have closed down since the Roe v. Wade was overturned. So So praise God for that. But, you know, Kelvin, just since we've had this volunteer pro-life educator who's been working with us, I can see the value more and more, probably month by month, I see a greater value in trying to reach out to those, especially young people, who don't know about the sanctity of human life, the biology of human development, and what abortion really is, right? So if we can help educate people, I think we could help lead people away from the snares and the blood pit and the sacrifice altar of the left, you know? So we're talking about this Senate bill introduced by Senator Neil Anderson, Senate Bill 3572, which would abolish abortion in Illinois. And I am thrilled to see a number of pastors getting excited about this, a lot of pro-life warriors getting excited about it. But there are still others who are wringing their hands. Some of them are good conservatives. Some of them are good Christians. But it seems as though they're not as bold as they should be. And then there's some that are just apathetic when it comes to the issue of human rights. Could you talk to that a little bit as a pastor and your experience?
You know, at some level, Dave, maybe living in the suburbs, you grow immune. I mean, I'll walk some mornings, especially in the summer, a peaceful street near my house, and you can lose sight how many people in the world are in danger or have fled from their homes. You can be so isolated, let's say, from so many of the issues in the world. So for abortion, you know what? There's probably not a clinic right next door to your church or house. Now, our church is in Arlington Heights. The nearest clinic, I believe, is Des Plaines, which is within 20 minutes. But, you know, it's not, most people are not passing by it. It's just become, I think maybe we've grown acceptable with this issue. 1973 wasn't the start of abortion. And thankfully, Roe v. Wade has been struck down, but we know that was not the end of abortion. Some would argue in some states, abortion increased. Certainly in Illinois, we've doubled, if not going up by almost 2.5 times potentially in a state like Illinois. To me, it becomes shameful that now Illinois, we're the land of Lincoln, right? Supposedly the state that helped end slavery to some extent. And now we have become the abortion center, certainly of the Midwest, perhaps even laying claim to be the abortion center of the entire nation. That is shameful, and there's no place for silence on this issue.
No, you know, I think Illinois was actually the first state to sign the or to approve the civil rights amendments, you know, 13, 14, and 15, you know. And yet here we are in 2024, 90,000 abortions. 35,000 of those, Calvin, came from out of state. We become an abortion tourist destination. Christians, like you said, out of sight, out of mind. They don't see the horror of what really is going on. It's been sanitized, right? Or we've gone just callous to it, you know, no big deal. When you see these videos, the man on the street interviews, Live Action does these, and they show him a video of a late term abortion, they change their mind. They say, oh no, I didn't know it was this. So ignorance is part of it.
Yeah, I do think there is one part ignorance, one part just very willful rebellion. You know, there's an intersection between the two. Certainly our culture has done everything. Our government has done everything to say this is just a medical procedure. This is just something between the doctor and the woman. We hear that ad nauseum, right? You know, it used to be safe, legal, and rare. Now it's just, you know what, shout your abortion in some cases.
Abortion on demand.
Certainly abortion on demand. Government-funded abortion. And in Illinois, bring in people
healthcare
from other states, right? All sort of packaged under the idea of supposed health care. So that message has broadcast. If you do speak with women who are on the front lines of at least reaching out to women who are thinking of abortion. They will report in some cases, even women who know this is a life will sadly, no, I'm going through with this. That factor cannot be ignored. Now, we know there are cases where women are pressured into it. The boyfriend, the husband, the family member.
A pimp.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we're not trying to brand all women, but so I would say a combination of ignorance, rebellion, maybe in some cases the aspect of force, manipulation, however that goes into play. The pro-life movement, I think, has done a valiant job. You know, the clinic, the busiest abortion clinic in Chicago now, has an incredible witness outside of it.
Yep.
On a very regular basis. The clinic in Des Plaines that I tried to go to, especially if I'm there on a Saturday, often there's a good witness outside that clinic, which is good. Who knows all the lives that have been saved? They're the ones that you know. What we don't know are the women maybe who maybe turned away because they saw someone outside. And you know what? We don't have their name. We don't have their phone number. We don't have their license plate, etc. So we can't always calculate the effect of our witness. Let's say that. Here's what I'm saying. Just witnessing is not going to change the abortion issue, as important as that is. It does need to be changed by law.
Culturally and politically, right? You're talking, right?
Correct, yes. So slavery did not, let's say this, slavery did not end because they put up a great PR campaign. It ended, you could say part of the Civil War and amendments and law changes. So if we are going to end abortion, it is going to take a change in law, as well as the other aspects that are already in place. Thankfully, there are more pro-life pregnancy centers than there are abortion clinics across the state. And think about this, Dave. There are far more evangelical, Bible-believing churches across Illinois than there are abortion clinics, right? And maybe the biggest shame is that we haven't been able to do more, given the fact that, even in a state like Illinois, as pathetic as we are, it's not like there's just 10 Christians left in Illinois, right? When Abraham was pleading for Sodom and got down to, if there are 10, would you spare this city? There are more than 10 Christians in the state of Illinois. There are more than 10 churches in the state of Illinois.
That are faithful, yeah.
Yeah, and so what I am praying for, efforts like this, Senate Bill 3572, Dave, we know we're... this is not going to be passed this year, right? I mean, that's
right.
That's not a lack of faith.
A long-term battle.
It is a long-term battle, but maybe this can become a catalyst. That's what I'm praying for. It helps bring about a change. You know, you were there when the parental notification was struck down.
That's right. 2022.
So, okay, that's going on 4 years ago. I was down in Springfield, and it seemed for a brief moment that there was a victory even. And then it quickly changed, and it was a defeat. As much as we would love to, oh, let's push that again. Well, as good as that legislation was, right? And I believe it did save lives when it was in effect. At this point, I would say, you know what? Pushing for just parental notification, I think would you say, well, if we could just get that back. Oh, that would be great. If we could have that, I would go for that. But I don't think that's what we should push for, because I think something even perhaps more shocking is needed for this patient than just giving a little bit of medicine. You got to get out the shock paddles and the 100,000 volts to try to jumpstart the heart.
There's the incremental fight where we get those kind of things passed, but there's also the incremental fight of getting enough sponsors for this bill and enough votes for this bill. So it's a different type of incremental battle to get this going.
Right.
But you talked about the good churches and the good Christians in Illinois. What would you say to them to get them involved and say, hey, you got to get off the sideline and you got to get involved in some way?
Maybe not
in front of the abortion clinic praying, but there's something that you can
sure.
do.
Sure. Well, there are the pregnancy centers, which have to be supported.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. There is a new organization that is taking over an already existing center in Elgin that I hope Christians will rally around that. This legislation and just maybe being more strategic together in terms of the witness that we are trying to bring to this state. That's what I am praying for. It seems as Christians, and that's why I love IFI, because I think it has been used by the Lord to help bring together Christians on key issues. And I'm praying this maybe is a way that God uses. So, Dave, you and I both attended a meeting recently pretty good number of pastors at that meeting. And you know what? There's lots of conferences, lots of this and that. You know what? I think they have their place, but what about really coming together, pleading? One of the things when you read about earlier Christians, they would come together just to confess their sins. Serious times of gathering just for confession of sin. So, you know, I think what is needed, you might say, is a return to the basics and then asking the Lord, how can our witness be used in this state? You know what? I was born and bred in Illinois. The Lord has kept me here for one reason or another. You would say, yeah, I would love to leave. And, you know, this is where the Lord has us. So if you are here in Illinois, you better be acting like a missionary here in Illinois. It's a pagan, perverse political culture. And now, thankfully, we can still express our voice. It's not like we should be afraid to be active and to not let fear keep us from the political battle or from some of the other aspects. Don't let fear be what keeps you.
That's right. Amen. All right. Well, one final thing. What would you say to pastors to encourage them to speak out on this issue?
How about read some of the passages? I plan to preach a sermon from Proverbs on abortion. I think some of the most compelling passages that have to do with the issue of life come from abortion. Rescue those who are unjustly sent to the slaughter, and don't say, I didn't see it happening. If you take what God's word says, what we know is our duty, and obviously no church can be doing it all. We know that. If someone knew that there were 90,000 5-year-olds were being murdered across the state, wouldn't there be a greater voice?
I hope so.
But it's 90,000 ones who don't have a voice yet that are being killed. So it was one of the most powerful pro-life movies was The Silent Scream, right?
Yep, that's right.
It is the silent voice that needs to be heard.
Well, let's keep praying. Let's keep working. The thought that you just gave us about confessing our sins and the idea for pastors to maybe even preach mm-hmm. from Proverbs 24,
yes.
right? Wasn't
yes.
it Proverbs 24?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Because I know when you dive in and you prepare to preach on a passage of Scripture, you're often the one that gets the most change and the most conviction.
Indeed.
And so
yes.
maybe more pastors need to consider doing that.
Yeah.
And we'll go forward for there. So anyway, Amen. Thank you, Calvin, for sharing some of your time today with
Blessings,
us.
Dave.
And
Thanks
I appreciate so your leadership. God bless you.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.